time for another Kennedy Malloy catch-up. For garden tools with more power and less noise, use Makita's cordless power garden tools. Power over 200 tools with one battery. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, hello, Australia, and welcome to the big Tuesday edition of Kennedy Malloy. Hello, Jane Kennedy.
Hello, Mick Malloy.
Hello, Dangerous Dave.
Janie, Mick, g'day.
Everyone on their best behaviour today. Yes. Special guest in the house. My mate, Jason Alexander, is coming in. Don't embarrass me in front of him.
Oh, wow. Really? Now, don't worry. In a minute, I'm going to just word you up on how to behave. That is so exciting.
We can't wait.
George Costanza from Seinfeld.
He's on a national tour. He's swinging by the studio. We're going to talk about a special charity lunch he's got going and just ping him with questions about Seinfeld.
I cannot wait either. We have first world problems, though. That are clearly Roger Federer's got one. You've got a couple. You always have first world problems. Your life is a first world problem.
I'm a man of the people.
Really, you are.
I'm an in and under. I'm a trenches man.
The song whisperer. Now.
He got done over yesterday.
I couldn't believe. You are incredible. The Triple M audience.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
I take my hat off to you because you're amazing.
The song whisperer swaggered in here. Thought he had you covered and bang, he copped one right between the eyes.
Exactly.
We'll get to the bottom of that. Bad parenting. I'm guessing you're bringing something to the table.
I knew you would say that. You know that I'm not a bad parent.
You're okay.
I try my hardest.
You do.
We have your moments.
Working mum.
I am working mum.
Juggle. That's how you start.
It's a juggle. That's what I say.
All right. Well, take your calls. We'll take your tweets.
We
so
will.
Much
very exciting
to get
day.
Through, but it is very exciting to have.
Yep. And you've worked with Jason Alexander, so that is
I
also
have.
Another factor.
Is that a tour?
We did a national tour, a stand-up
How long
comedy
were you with him?
Tour. Right.
If you ask him,
he would say it felt like 9 months. No, it was fun, because it's like a travelling little circus, isn't it?
Exciting.
Enough people to get into a minivan.
Yeah.
And drive from gig to gig or fly to, and you're in, it's always fun.
That's
and
awesome.
Every night, sitting around a table, having a laugh, eating dinner.
How wonderful.
With George.
Yep.
Nuts.
Jason, so this is what I wanted to say. Mm. When he comes in, can you please not call him George?
What do you mean?
Well, you tend to do this. You call Greg Brady,
who's
Barry Williams. You call him Greg.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. And he did it the other day.
Who?
With
Toadie from
with
Neighbours.
With Ryan Maloney, who plays Toadie in Neighbours. You kept calling him Toadie.
You wanted him on the death list as well, which I thought was pretty horrific.
Can I put in some for the Deadpool? For a roughie, can I have Toadie from Neighbours?
Oh, you don't want it.
That is ridiculous.
I've just got to.
He listens to this show too,
He does listen to this show.
I'm not wishing it.
Oh, well,
I'm just saying.
Well, you might as well put people who might be over the age of 35.
He might get coronavirus or something.
Why have you got it in for Toadie?
Don't worry about this bit. I didn't call it to his face.
You said Toadie and his name's Ryan, so it's
well,
very
I said
rude.
Toadie to Toadie's face, which I think was
really
a bit...
Yes, you did. That's terrible.
Anyway, now congratulations to you,
congratulations.
Jane Kennedy.
Well done.
The list for the most powerful women in radio
congratulations.
Is out today, and you've managed to get from, was it a disappointing ninth? Last year?
I was a bit disappointed last year. I came in, out of 10, I came ninth.
Ninth most powerful
woman
in radio.
But I was very fresh to radio.
And bang, you've gone up three places. You're now number six. To what do you credit that rise?
If we go back to how I said that people were higher than me.
Okay, sure.
We'll have a listen.
We'll have a listen.
All right.
Top 10. Guess where you come in? Scramble into number 9.
Number 9?
Number 9.
Joan, I'm beside myself.
Are you disappointed or are you...
No, I'm not. I'm not disappointed at all. I'll tell you why.
Why?
Every single woman on that list has slept their way to the top.
Wait, hang on. Every one of them?
Every single one of them. Clearly I didn't sleep with the right people.
Well, okay, something's changed this year.
This year I'm number 6. And I stand by that.
Who's number 1?
Jackie O. And she's really, really good, that's for sure. And then
who can you topple? Who's in front of you?
Well,
you
if I see Bickmore, she's number 4 and I'm number 6, I'll cut her. Keller, she's dead to me.
Yeah, Keller.
Kate Ritchie.
Who?
Listen, I've known Kate for a long time. And you know what, Kate? It might be time to just, go back to acting.
Go back to acting where you started.
Yep.
As a child.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. It's not great from you.
But this is like the most 10 most powerful women in Australian FM radio. I say there are only 10 women in Australian FM radio.
Soapbox, get down.
I beg your pardon. How dare you?
No,
that's not a femo rant.
Might only be 10 women, but they make a lot of noise.
Well, I actually...
You're going to cut me now, are you?
Susie O'Neill, she's on the list. Madam
Susie
Butterfly.
O'Neill. Now, hang on, how does she get into the chair?
She's on radio.
That'd be like saying you're the sixth fastest swimmer in Australia.
Well, yes. Well, I could do a bit of butterfly.
Stay in your lane, O'Neill.
Stay in your lane, O'Neill.
You were a great swimmer.
Come on, you were good at that.
You're nothing in radio.
Come on.
Yeah, and you...
Runs on the board, please, Madam Butterfly. What's going on? Anyway, do I get a prize for this? I don't think so. Nothing.
Do you know what? What do you rate more highly, your 6 in radio or your 94 in Maxim's Hot 100?
Yeah,
oh,
good question.
It's so difficult. Well, I've always been quite powerful to be around, as you know.
Right.
Overbearing is another word for powerful.
Maybe it is.
Hey!
I promise not to be overbearing when we see Jason
amazing.
Alexander.
Amazing. He will love you. He's a good guy.
He's
out into raising money for Kangaroo Island.
Brilliant.
How good is he?
What a great guy.
What a guy. We'll get to the bottom of that shortly.
Okay.
All right. And we're away. First world problems coming up too, thanks to Makita and the range of cordless garden tools for Makita's cordless power garden range.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
We have a first
world problem. Be away from turning all your rants into a segment.
I've got
first world problems.
Emergency first world problem.
Hit me.
Do you
Here
have a first
go.
World problem, Mick?
Well, today's...
I mean, you usually do.
Well, I've got a couple. We'll get there. But today's edition of First World Problems is brought to you by Wacom Phoenix, who underscored what it's all about. To be
an actor.
Just to be bogged down in first world problems. He told us how it should go. Here he is making a speech at the Oscars.
I think that we've become very disconnected from the natural world. We feel entitled to artificially inseminate a cow, and when she gives birth, we steal her baby, even though her cries of anguish are unmistakable. And then we take her milk that's intended for her calf, and we put it in our coffee and our cereal. We can create, develop, and implement systems of change that are beneficial to all sentient beings and to the environment.
Yeah. Sorry, I just dozed off.
Oh, mate, what a dick.
It's very divisive. There's a lot of people are absolutely applauding that. People think it's brilliant that he took that opportunity to not thank all the people that made the movie and wrote the words for him to say. Instead, talked about cows.
Well, they are ones with first world problems, because if you've been down a coal mine for 18 hours a day or you're a 12-year-old kid building a rug for nothing in Bangladesh or whatever,
back to me
do
on
you
that
think
one.
You care?
Yeah.
But they're so at themselves that there it is.
It's not the time. I think it's the wrong opportunity to do that.
Why are you grandstanding?
And why am I listening to you, Professor Phoenix?
Oh, my God.
Yep.
All right. He is bogged down in first world problems.
He is.
I've got
first world.
He's a rich actor who has no right to lecture.
No, thanks.
All right,
so speaking of the Academy Awards, the Academy Award film was Parasite. I watched it today, went and saw it.
Oh.
I really liked it a lot.
Did you?
I really did. I think it's really clever and interesting. A film like I hadn't seen before.
Okay.
You know, it was surprising.
Even though it's subtitled, you can still...
Yes,
you
know, Dave, I can read.
You've got to read it.
Oh, my God. First world problems.
I don't like reading.
I've got first world problems.
You can't read.
I don't like reading with films. That's why they invented talkies. Up until then, they'd have a scene and then it'd go
really
to a slide
embarrassing.
And
you
had to have your language out. And I don't want to do that.
But that cuts out 90% of the world.
Can you overdub it?
Yeah.
I once saw the Dukes of Hazzard dubbed. I'm telling
you this
is so
true. Intellectual.
The Dukes of Hazzard dubbed into French. And you have not lived until you're sitting in a hotel room
Daisy's
in
hot
Paris.
Pants in French are pretty la la. God's sakes. Anyway, you know what? I really was able to read the subtitles. It was okay. I thought it was really good film.
So you have to put your glasses on? Don't
yeah, but Ray
put
had...
your glasses on to go to the film. 133353. By the way,
yeah,
if you've got
a stressful problem
get on board now.
Ray Hadley on Paradise, on Parasite.
Right.
I've got an email from a couple of people from South Korean background who tell me the movie's not very good. I can't understand how The Gentleman didn't get one award, because I think it's one of the best movies I've seen in a long, long time. That's the Guy Ritchie film with Hugh Grant and people. You know,
he's not entitled to his opinion? Or? Well, he has
you
to
know
like,
how much I like Ray.
He like, has to like Parasite? Or?
I just think go and see it before you rely on your South Korean friends. Do you think he's got...
I like your Ray Hadley impression, by the way. It's not bad. It's right up with Mix.
Your impression of me was really... I was really...
Do you think I'm doing an impression of Ray Hadley?
I thought that was it.
I wouldn't dare take it on.
You just did.
Did I?
Yeah.
No, Ray doesn't speak like that. Ray goes like this.
I've got an email from a couple of people with South Korean background.
No, the first time you played him a bit dumber, a bit hokier.
Hey, Ray's a fan of ours. Is he? He's probably listening right now. Remember?
I like the gentleman too. Okay. Hey.
Did you go and see a movie?
When?
Did you say you like the gentleman?
No. No, I just watch internet porn.
First world problems.
That's right, my day.
Because you can't be bothered going out to the cinema. Mick, have you got a first world problem?
No,
another
not,
one.
Not really.
What? Really? What?
My driver was 5 minutes late today.
I've got first world problems.
Ordinarily, I wouldn't mind.
Do you know nobody at
when
this
I've got,
station
I have to be
to
here
that.
To. I have a pre-record. Here? I
yeah,
have to
right.
do. And it just makes a tense ride for me, even though I'm sitting in the back and I'm not
but
driving.
But what are you doing before then?
Yeah.
What's all the
waiting
time
for
taken
my driver?
Up? But before then, why couldn't you just get here earlier?
Well, no, that's why I set my alarm for two.
But what time do you wake up?
Well, I'm up in the morning, but I like to have a little snooze in the.
Do you have a mid-morning? Do you have a mid-morning?
Hey, I've got another one.
What?
Oh, it's not me. It's Glenn Robbins.
Yeah.
So we're on a golf weekend at Cathedral Golf Club, one of the best. He comes over to me and he's furious. I won't use the language because you know he doesn't drink.
Mm.
So
he drinks some maybe here and there.
Yeah, a little bit. But he had his cup of tea. He had a cup of tea.
No, now he's very particular about his cup of tea.
Well, he came over and he said, I can't use the word he said, but some. Just stole my bicky.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No, that would upset
you,
him.
You know the bicky you get with your cup
yes.
of tea?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And he was
your little
shortbread.
No, you can't do that
Come
to
on,
Glennie.
Glenn.
All right, we've got time to take one now. Sure. We've just got one from Nathan. Nathan, you got a first world problem?
G'day, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, good. What do you got?
Every day on the way home when I turn off into the housing estate, it's only a gentle bend and I have to manually turn off the indicator every time.
Oh, I got this one. How annoying.
Because you haven't turned the wheel far enough.
Far enough, yeah.
That is
a brilliant first world problem.
Give him a prize.
That
Brick
is
Lane,
awesome.
You've got a case of Brick Lane coming your way, which, by the way, is now available at Dan Murphy's First Choice Liquor and more.
You can get the lager or the pale ale.
So good.
Lager for me, but it's a ripper. All right,
coming
you get the
way.
Idea.
Yes, give us a call.
1-333-553.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
We have a first world
problem. It'll be a way of turning all your rants into a segment.
I got
first world problem.
Emergency first world problem.
Hit me.
Hey, by the way, Jason Alexander joining us in the next half hour
Can't
or so,
wait.
Just after the top of the hour.
I've been watching lots of Seinfeld clips because I knew he was coming.
You don't
in.
Have to go far, do you? It's pretty much.
But then I said, want to watch the whole episode.
You know
yeah, 30 years.
And it's not a day gone by when you haven't been able to, wherever you are in the world. If
it's one of those comfort shows as well. You watch it. You're in a bad mood or whatever, and you just feel great.
You know, that's also when you're dating someone, I can imagine what it would be like if someone goes,
a good
oh,
test
I can't
case.
Stand Seinfeld. I go, see ya. Sorry.
I agree.
Right now we're in the middle of first world problems.
Yes, we are.
I don't have many. Although my chopper ride to the golf club was bumpy the other day. I'm all for it.
I'm trying to imagine what people are thinking when they hear you say
He's a good bloke. He deserves everything he
he's
gets.
One of the people.
He's worked hard.
The driver was fine.
You deserve it.
He's one of us.
He's
it's good
one
to see one of us. He's doing it for us.
The
you, Mickey.
One of us.
Do all it, right. Mickey. Go harder.
Okay.
See what you can
Let's
do.
Go to Annette. Annette, what's your first world problem?
Making the bed. And whenever you put the fitted sheet on, you always put the first corner on wrong.
This is it, the fitted sheet. Now, no more calls on the fitted sheet. Right. But this, for women in particular, we had a bloke call in the other day. The
women fitted, usually all over it. And you're letting us down.
Fitted sheet is the biggest groaner. I don't do a lot of, obviously,
no, you
making
don't.
Beds. And I tried for about half an hour to one of my friends came in and said, that's
but you're a grown-up man. That's not recent.
No. He goes, this is about a week ago down the coast. He goes, mate, that's a single, and you're trying to put it on a double.
Double.
And I went, no.
Not going to fit.
Sometimes I think, and I work with you.
Yeah, he's adorable.
Annette, I've got the answer.
Yes, what?
When you've got it sorted and you find out what it is, just lift up the long side, get a Sharpie, and just write LS at the edges of the long sides. That's how you know you've got the long side.
I've done that on my doona. I've written top and bottom, so I don't put that in the wrong way.
So learn from your own. Yes, you're smart enough, Annette. You know what's going on.
Do you know how to put a doona on?
I beg your pardon. Do I know how to put a doona on?
A doona's a two-man job, right? You can't. It would be impossible for anyone to put a doona on.
Are you serious? Right?
I tried
no,
it once
honestly.
And ended up on the inside.
Did you? You can put a peg on them. That's what we do. Put a peg on each.
You turn it inside out.
Can't wait for your blog to come out.
You're asking me how many beds do you think I've changed in my life?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, here we go. Well, all the staff. Yep.
How many?
Beg your pardon? My parents listen to this show.
Big hello.
Yeah, the housekeeper do that, don't you?
Hey. No, hey, Dave, shut up. I don't.
You do.
I don't.
You do.
You are. You're all on drugs. There you go. That's disparaging enough.
Wish. First of all, problem.
Right hello, now. Ron. Hello, Ron.
Hello.
Yeah, what's your first world problem, Ron?
Well, I have a daughter who borrows my lawnmower and whippersnipper.
Yep.
And if she returns them to me,
yep.
She doesn't refuel them or in the whippersnipper or anything.
No.
That's a first world problem.
That's outrageous, though.
Yeah.
Without, gender, programming, that's a problem women have, is filling a tank, refilling a tank. Any kind of tank.
I would never do that.
It just doesn't strike you as...
Never return something without petrol.
For a gender that's pretty good at multitasking, how about putting refueling into what as one of those tasks that you mix in would with all the others? You? Would it kill you? When you go down to buy...
You're speaking like you do this all the time. It's so annoying. You would never even...
What you need is a Makita, by the way. That's
you do. No petrol. Ron, you need a Makita. We haven't got one for you now.
We'll have a special Makita song.
Thank you, Ron. Simon... Your wife's got a really terrible first world problem.
This sounds horrific.
I'm upset. What was it?
Can't hear you, mate. Can't hear you speaking on the phone.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah, so my wife drives a Mercedes and I drive a Ford, and I'm sick and tired of getting into her car and turning the windscreen wipers on.
It's because the indicators are on the opposite side.
On the wrong side. I don't know why the car's probably on the wrong same side.
Thanks a lot, Europe.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Why would they do that?
Because they're a bit stupid.
No, because they drive on the other side of the road, so it's still on the inside.
Is that what it is? Hello, Matt.
It's all in my book.
Hey, how are you?
What's your first world problem?
Mate, my wife, I went out and I bought myself an electric toothbrush, just a cheap one. I bought her an expensive one because I thought it would be the nice thing to do.
Yeah, good on you. Good man.
Flat out blowing up because I like to brush my teeth in the shower and so does she. And she can't use hers in the shower because it won't go underwater.
Give her a price, Dave.
Hang on.
That's pretty good.
Here's the problem. You spend a lot of money on an electric toothbrush for your wife. How about something a bit nicer like jewellery? That's disgraceful.
Well, I'll put it this way. If you're going to buy something that vibrates.
Yeah, that's it.
I can think of a better
really?
Present. Yeah, yeah. But what about that? That's a nice present, a toothbrush.
No, it's not. I don't want an electric toothbrush as a present. No.
You don't?
No.
They're expensive.
Anniversary?
Who cares? I don't want one.
Get your nice pearly whites.
Just use a one from Coles for $3. Same diff. Hello, Scott.
Hello. I was having lunch with some colleagues before Christmas and just happened to mention that every time I get into my beach house, I'm sick and tired and I can't start my Maserati because the battery's flat.
I think you like your first one. You win this round. Well done.
Thank you.
The drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
What kind of mother am I?
I'm up for a father of you.
I'm afraid I'll be forced to call social services.
You know, when I was little, I used to pretend you weren't my mother.
Me too.
Time now for another entry into the Journal of Bad Parenting.
By the way, the song Whisperer, not far away, then Jason Alexander in the second hour. Kennedy Malloy.
Okay, cool.
Can't wait. Lots to like. It's all coming up. Very exciting here. I think the whole station's up and about.
Buzzing.
George Costanza will be here.
I wonder what it's like, though, when people... we should ask him that,
he's behaved well, adored everywhere. He is, wherever he is in the world.
So many fans.
At the time, those guys, I think, were the most famous people in the world. At the height of that show, it was so. Imagine that.
All superstars in their own right, too, aren't they? All of them.
I feel like I'm a peer of his. Okay. We toured together and we're like.
I've been annoyed, though, when we have walked down the street together and people come up to you. I don't like people who touch you, who go, Mickey, and they push you. I think I actually.
You get the
I pushed this guy off you.
As long as it's friendly. I've had worse.
You have? All right, so this is bad parenting we're talking about.
Oh, we are, right. And you've got a beauty to get the ball rolling.
Well.
This is in honour of. Now, this is, I'm going to mention the school. I know certain sensitivities, but there's a school in Toorak in Melbourne called St. Catherine's.
Yes.
And apparently Catherine was the saint of piss farting around.
Right, okay.
Because a bunch of young girls have gone on a 13-year-old bender is the best way I can say.
Well, what it is they've got in a car and they're about 13. We're presuming no one has their license.
At 13, no.
Yeah, they're 13. They're driving the car to a McDonald's drive-thru to make an order. And do you want to hear them? Because I can't help laughing at this. I'm sorry.
Can you tell me how they got busted, though?
They got busted because one of the girls, who obviously is got to study a bit more at St. Catharines, put it up on TikTok.
Oh, oops.
And
footage of three 13-year-old girls driving a car through McDonald's.
That's right. And they tried to disguise the school insignia on their uniforms with some emojis. But because they were moving around so much, it was clear as day what they were doing.
And
so,
you've got what they posted on TikTok.
Yes, this is the audio.
Because I know how to drive. You know, I'm not even pressing the pedal because I don't need to. Because
okay, click brake, click brake, 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 brake.
Can I get a Big Mac?
You push out my fries. Why are you staring at me? Please don't get my apple pie.
Can we please get 4 Big Macs?
4?
Yep. Yeah. And 20 chicken nuggets?
Yep.
Oh, 3 large chips?
3 large chips.
Oh my god, guys.
A McFlurry. And 5 apple pies. And a chocolate milkshake.
Was that a medium?
Yes, please.
Okay, obviously they must be very young because it's before the stage where girls don't eat.
Can I say, and I know I'm not supposed to enjoy that.
It's funny.
Girls,
it's pretty funny. Now,
a soft spot for the girls. They don't sack them.
No, because it's off campus.
Them and you go,
it's
hey.
It's off campus. It's not to do with the school. And apparently there was a guardian in the back seat where you couldn't see or hear.
A guardian?
There was a guardian.
Who's the guardian? What, one of the parents? That is bad parenting.
That's what I'm
Who's
saying.
Who's the guardian?
We don't know.
No, I'm not going with the guardian story.
Neither am I.
What, the worst guardian ever?
There you go, kids.
Hence bad parenting.
What was he ordering? The hot apple pie?
I don't know if it was a woman or a man. I don't know who the guardian was, but let's just say.
My parents were away. I took a car out. Underage ones with my mates.
That's so bad.
And we were underage and we drove it to a bottle shop because we went bingo. No one looked. We're driving. You've got to assume we're all 18.
Oh yeah.
Then went round, egged a guy's house.
Wow.
And drove off. Then drove
just
home.
A great weekend.
And my dad, when he comes home, goes, "Who took the car? What did you do that for?" I said, "I didn't." It's my neighbours who apparently. We're watering the garden out the front, so three of us drive past them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, don't think they didn't cop an egging.
No. All right, now here's something that you see it a lot on Instagram.
Sure.
I know I have to ask permission of my kids if I put a picture of them up.
Yes, you
do. You just do. Well, now Australian parents should be asking their toddlers for permission to take their photos. According to the eSafety Commissioner, as young as 2. So if you've got a 2-year-old, you say, excuse me, sweetheart, do you mind if I put this on Instagram?
Well, now that could have been in first world problems, to be honest.
Yes,
that
it could.
To decide whether you're violating your toddler's right to privacy.
I'm a bit for that.
But I am.
I don't think you should put a child who can't speak up for themselves.
I talk about my boys on radio, but you'll never see a photo of them. And they've never on Instagram been done. I had an argument with a guy, this idiot at the football once. Mm. Who I always take photos. I always stop for photos. Yeah. We do it, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Very friendly. And he's taking photos of my children in.
Oh, well, that's not
on the way home. And I said, sorry, mate, would you mind if you didn't post that? Can I ask you to delete? Can you delete that, please? Oh, pardon me.
Oh,
what? The kids aren't allowed to be. Oh, who are you, mate? It was like,
I don't know what I'd do in that situation, but it would be angry.
I don't want them on.
No,
I don't want people to be able to identify my children.
But that cuts across half
Fred,
my,
yes, Lenny, no.
My Instagram feed is full of babies, full of toddlers, and everything. That's fine. But I don't think it's such a bad option. I mean, a lot of children now have their own Instagram sites.
But I get the idea that it's that
you've got to say something.
But for someone to go, will a toddler one day be allowed to turn around and sue their parents and go, there's a lot of issues like this with child stars and kids who are in ads when they were 5, there's supposed to be money put into a trust account and stuff.
And the cupboard's bare when they grow up.
That's a bit of bad parenting. You know, we'll see the funny side. 1-3-3-5-3. Are you a bad parent? Give us a call.
Give us an example.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
What kind of mother am I?
I'm a poor father to you.
I'm afraid I'll be forced to call social services.
You know, when I was little, I used to pretend you weren't my mother.
Me too.
Time now for another entry into the Journal of Bad Parenting.
I was saving this story.
1-3-3-5-3, by the way. Get involved if you're a bad parent or you know of one.
We might reward you with some prizes.
Yeah. I saw this only on the 27th of January. I saw a Russian mum has filmed her 3-year-old son smoking a hookah pipe on holiday.
Oh, jeez.
The footage reportedly took place at an undisclosed Egyptian resort. Nothing can go wrong there. Where the mother from Russia, identified by the name of Vera Bushnakevna, was enjoying a holiday with her two children, aged 3 and 7. She thought it would be hilarious to get a 3-year-old just have a few puffs on the old
hookah pipe. It's not tobacco. That's just like vaping. I mean, kids vape from the age of about 2 these days, don't they?
I'm not sure.
Vaping's bad.
Is vaping bad?
Yes.
Is it worse than chroming?
Oh, maybe it's a draw.
Worse.
Well, what about the Indonesian smoking kid? What happened to him? He'd be old now, wouldn't he?
He would.
He was about 5. I used to like him.
I don't know if he's still.
What are you saying?
What chance did he have in life?
He might have an electronic voice.
Actually,
box.
I can't talk about that voice. Stop it.
I love that kid.
I don't.
It's like a young Sam Payne.
That's ridiculous.
Hey, 1-3-3-5-3.
We're doing bad parenting, by the way.
Sure.
Jeff, are you a bad parent?
Sometimes.
What'd you do?
Well, recently my kid had a loose front tooth, so we got the drone and we tied a fishing line to one end of the drone and the fishing line to his front tooth and then
flew the drone.
Whooshka.
That is fantastic.
That's amazing.
So that is the modern version of slamming the door shut.
Yeah.
With the thing.
That's right.
Or the Indian version, which was always my favourite. The American Indian version where you tie a piece of string with a tooth, the other to the bow and arrow. Shoot the bow and arrow.
You've been watching
that's
cartoons.
Culturally, that's not F Troop. That is not F Troop. Okay. It's not Dances with Stars.
Did the tooth come out though,
that
Jeff?
Dances with Wolves.
Yeah, the tooth pinged about 5 metres in the air with clean pull.
Wow. The kid happy?
Wow.
Got a good story
to tell. Any tears?
Yeah.
Did the drone film it?
He was really happy.
Did the drone film it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got good footage.
I'll post that on TikTok. You'll be father of the year.
Did the drone fairy come with some money?
The drone fairy, I think $2 for a front tooth.
Yep, that's fair enough to me. Thanks, Jeff.
Front tooth, I got ripped off.
Hey, Ryan.
Hello.
Who do you know that's a bad parent or has bad parental skills?
So this is my girlfriend's grandmother. I've got to throw her under the bus here. She spent her childhood modelling career money on a second-story renovation at her house. About $90,000.
Oh, no.
So the child's modelling.
So they've put it in like a way until she turned 18.
In a turnover account. Usually it's an education account.
Yes, usually that's what it's
for.
And
she's blown the lot on a rumpus room or extension.
Two bedrooms and an ensuite.
Wow.
Does she at least let the child sleep in one of those rooms?
Yeah, for a little bit. Probably got kicked out not long after.
All right.
Thank you, Ryan.
Jeez, that is bad.
That's quite severe, actually. Hello, Mick.
Hello, how are you?
Good, yeah. What's happening? Are you the parent?
Yes, I am the parent.
What'd you do?
I wouldn't have thought of a bad parent, but my wife does. 12 months ago, my son Brock got his L plates, and first thing I did was get him to drive me through the Botlo, and he just picked up his P plates just 5 minutes ago, and the first thing I did was get him.
That's good parenting.
I love that tradition.
Yeah,
it's a tradition.
But you realise as the person responsible for that vehicle, if your son's on L's, you have to be.
You have to be zero.
Yeah, definitely.
If you're on P's, you have to be zero as the parent.
Well, the parent, no, not the parent, but on L's you do because you're in control of the car.
Uh-oh.
No, I mean,
I knew that. Of course I knew that.
How many poops do you know? How many blokes do you know, I'll say it right now, who growing up lets their kids drive them home because they're pissed?
Oh, yeah.
If they've got a license, sure.
No.
Oh, no. Not many.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know what went on in your neighbourhood. Actually, a lot went on in your neighbourhood. Thank you, Mick. Let's hear from Debbie. Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What happened to you guys?
We were at the front being responsible parents drinking, and the kids were playing on the trampoline in the backyard, of which they were starting to yell, so I wouldn't let my kids squeal. So my husband went around, told them off, and came back. We continued drinking, then they started squealing again. Then my husband went round, and I thought, taking a while to come back. So I walked around the backyard, and he had the hose in the daughter's mouth because she had blood pouring out because she split her tongue open.
Oh, well, look, the tongue injury, they recover very quickly, so I'm sure she was fine. Was she all right, Debbie?
Is the tongue important?
Yeah, she was fine. She was running around the next day, poking it out.
Did your drink go warm? Well done, Debbie.
Did you punish her?
No.
No, it was an accident.
If you can't, while you interrupt the drinking session.
Thank you very much. It's glad to hear that there's
idea.
Some skills. Yeah. Right. Thank you very much.
Hey, the song whisperer is about
it's
Angie.
Time.
Excellent, great.
Bang.
By the way, if you get it right today, you got tickets to go see Faith No More, who are playing across Australia.
Those guys.
Tickets are going to go on sale
there
tomorrow. This will be
okay.
A huge show.
This will be massive.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy. Jay, the song whisperer.
The Song Whisperer, of course, is our own Jay Muir, who's getting some good feedback from the electorate out there. Who was our caller yesterday?
Yeah,
wanted to hear you
Rachel,
read 50 Shades of Grey.
Debbie.
That was Danny from Brisbane.
Yeah, she was.
So you remember her name.
Yeah.
She's the only one who's called.
And by the way, everyone, just to clear it up, yeah. there's a school of thought out there that you are a black man, a large black man.
Correct.
You're not. You're
a large white man.
5'2".
That's right.
Pasty white.
You're a white dwarf. But you're a white.
But you are real.
We'll post a picture of the Whisperer. Should we post a picture of the Whisperer writing something at his desk?
What city were you born in,
St. Louis, Missouri.
I love hearing that.
Who's a good artist? What's the best artist that's come out of St. Louis?
Chuck Berry. Tina Turner was in St. Louis.
Tina Turner.
Wilco.
It's the murder capital of America, isn't it?
It has been from time to time. Not currently.
Not since you left.
All right. Let's hear the clue for today.
What's the national animal or whatever?
In Missouri?
A Budweiser beer. So maybe the Clydesdale? But it's hard.
The good horse, the Clydesdale.
Yeah. The Budweiser Clydesdales. They pull the
beer.
You like to see your bee Clydesdale.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have beavers?
I think there are beavers in the Midwest.
Why would you ask that question?
It's because I like beavers.
Do you?
You're not the Lone Ranger. Now, all right, come on.
Groundhogs?
Hey, don't forget, coming up next, who's coming up?
Jason Alexander.
Alexander.
He's in the building, by the way.
He's in the building
here
as we speak.
He'll be joining us very soon.
All right, everyone will be going nuts out there. All right, now, so this is how it goes. Synopsis of a song that we will play if you get it right.
And an artist or a band that we would play on this network. I think it's fair enough to say if when you hear the Song Whisperer say a song, it's not like something you'd hear pop song.
We play.
Or something we could squeeze in.
Okay.
That's right.
All right, go. Synopsis of today's song.
A man wrestles with his future by looking back at his past through rose-colored glasses. His memories are enhanced by copious amounts of alcohol. He laments his father's fate and wonders what will befall him in his later years. He is aware of his potential to fall prey to the siren song of nostalgia, but it's something he'll deal with another day. Right now, his focus is on his ability to achieve a complete state of intoxication.
I want to have a drink with Dusty.
Tequila.
Tequila.
Yes.
Not bad.
Want to have a beer with Duncan?
Love to have
Dusty.
A beer with Mickey.
Banana splits. Na 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 na.
That's not on Triple M play.
Also not correct.
And wants to get blasted.
Yes.
Essentially, what's the song?
I know. Red Wine.
Oh, yeah.
Neil Diamond.
Is that the Neil Diamond or the UB40?
The Neil Diamond version.
Oh, yeah. Manfred Mann.
Okay. Our board has exploded.
Let's take one.
All right.
Okay.
Michael. Let's take Michael just to get the ball rolling.
Michael.
Your first guess, first cab off the rank. What is it?
Cats in the Cradle.
Little boy, the man in the moon. Mickey.
Harry Chapin died in a plane crash.
Oh.
Original.
Spoiler.
Not Cats in the Cradle.
Go and kill the whole segment, Jane.
He did. Anyway, sorry, it's not correct, Mike.
Oh, not correct.
All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. We want to get back into this. Give us a call, 133353.
Because
phones are going berserk, by the way.
Guess who we're talking about? to next? Talking with next. Your Jason, buddy, yeah. Jason Alexander.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
And it is massive. There's not much to introduce for the second hour because it's dominated by our next guest. Before we get there, though, the Song Whisperer will be in. The phones have gone Coco Banana.
There is an alcoholic theme. Well, an alcohol theme.
So many great songs that are based around alcohol.
So many great songs.
I can't believe it. So he will come in. The phones are going off. No one has it as yet, but we will check in.
We're putting that to...
We'll take your calls. Yep. We'll take your tweets. But it's time, ladies and gentlemen. We're so excited to have our next guest with us live in the studio.
Our next guest, Jason Alexander's career began as a teenager doing commercials for TV and radio. And in the early 80s, a love for live theatre would land him roles in numerous Broadway productions and see him claim a Tony Award in 1989.
Jason Alexander.
He's directed, produced, written and appeared in a long list of stage productions, TV shows and films from Pretty Woman.
I devoted my whole life to you.
To Shallow Hal.
Have you ever heard the phrase that beauty is in the eye? Eye of the Beholder?
Yeah. Did you ever hear the song, Who Let the Dogs Out?
But it's his 90s role as George Costanza in Seinfeld that we all know him best.
George is getting upset!
I'm the opposite, the very guy you've ever met.
It's not a lie if you believe it.
What do you do?
I'm an architect.
Save the whale, George. For me.
The sea was angry that day, my friends.
I'm really sorry.
I was in the pool! I was in the pool!
After a previous sellout tour of the country, he's back this month, performing nationally on the Master of His Domain tour. Please welcome to the show, Jason Alexander.
I'm exhausted already.
Wow.
Wow. I'm in the business 40 years. I've never had an introduction.
Really?
Like
that.
We have done an archaeological dig. We didn't want to leave no stone unturned.
Deep cuts. Deep cuts.
I really feel like applauding then. It's like I've been at a great show already.
Well, you have, and he's in a great show. I've toured with this guy, the live stuff. It's unbelievable because you are a triple threat. You are people. A lot of people don't know this, but your background is song, dance.
Yes.
You can tell a story, tell a joke, sing. It's
anything to not work for a living.
And you're getting away with it beautifully. We'll get to your tour in just a minute, but I did want to, off the top, mention this once in a lifetime experience. It is called "You're a Good Fella." You're going to raise money by dining at Aria. Yeah, in Sydney.
Well, that's going to be tough.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
the hard part.
Someone had to do it.
Do you think you're up to it?
That's the hard part.
To raise money for the Kangaroo Island bushfires.
Oh,
and it's a lunch. Your chance to lunch with Jason Alexander.
Yeah.
Personally, I've had a few.
Right.
And they're not that great.
Oh. No, and that was with alcohol. And I don't know if alcohol is included in this.
So can we fill people in the background of the relationship between you two? Now, I'm sure, Jason, you can sympathise with me because I work with this guy every day, but you've been on the road with him, and I know what that's like too.
Yep.
Are they happy memories for you?
Oh, my God. That tour in particular.
Yes.
Was so much fun. It was just so much fun.
It was great fun.
I have been so lucky in, you know, situations like that, even, you know, bringing it around to Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Everybody goes, oh, you guys work so well together. They go, well, it's an arranged marriage. We had never
it's
met.
It's
got
to work. You know, you hope
you
it
go,
does.
Oh, fingers crossed. I hope this works. But that tour was so much fun. Actually, all the tours that I've done here in Australia have been great. But that was really
It was a lot of fun. You were on stage. You were exceptional. And for anyone who has a ticket, I think there's a few tickets left.
Some have been released today.
Have been released today for this tour.
Oh, that means the promoters have not done this.
Just a few.
I can't believe
that. Or they're adding gigs without telling you.
Yeah,
there's hardly any, actually. We feel very privileged to have you here. That's why we're...
Oh,
yeah,
stop.
Seriously.
Please, no. I mean, finish your thought.
Come on.
But we've spent a bit of time together on the road, and you're just so wonderful with your fans. So I'll put it out there. I've never been in the company of anyone more famous, because we all bitch and moan occasionally because you get selfied at an airport or you do this.
Right.
But it was absolutely it was like seagulls squabbling over a chip. Every time this man walked into a room, had people who should know better, and I'm talking about police officers,
sure.
people working behind the counter at airports, just lose it. They forget they're working. They run around the counter, put a camera in your face, and I never, ever once.
Can I just say you haven't aged a day also, so well, that is another amazing fact.
I just had 45 minutes of makeup in your...
No, you look the same.
You never batted an eyelid. And that comes with the territory, obviously, but...
It's... that's your product. The people are your product. Yeah. That's your sales. I remember there's a great story. It's not mine, but it did. It got to me. So Rod Stewart, the famous singer, had a wonderful house on Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles. And it was a pretty famous house even before Rod Stewart bought it because it had this extraordinary statuary right outside. Yes. And tour buses would stop for people just to take pictures of the statue.
I may have been in one of those.
So now he buys the house and now, you know, people stop every day. And he comes out and he's taking pictures of people.
So he
was on a talk show and somebody said to him, you know, do you find it, is it annoying that people were there taking pictures? And he goes, well... they paid for the house. So, and I went, yeah, that's the right attitude. That's
I have a little taste of what you're going through because I once got papped eating a burrito in Bondi.
Mick, you've got to let it go.
Absolutely. Yes.
Did the tabloid ever get to you? Because we don't read or hear much about you outside of your work. But can you remember one of the – is there a crazy story that's ever
there was,
about you?
There's one. It's actually not so funny. But there is an actor and director, mostly a director, named Jason Alexander back in the States.
Yes.
Now, he works under the name – the professional name is slightly different than mine. It's Jace.
Right.
And he ran into a little bit of trouble with the law, and it had to do with some pornography. But there was a big I came out of a work thing, and my
your feet Twitter
it blows up because it says writer actor Jason Alexander accused of and arrested and and it's my picture.
Oh no.
My picture. Now if you read the article it says not this guy.
This guy. Isn't
but if you don't
terrible.
If it's just the headline so that's kind of
well Twitter's interesting because I've been following you for years on Twitter and I love the fact that you are not you never sit on the fence with anything. And that's what I totally, I do. I love what you say about Trump and his efforts in makeup recently, which were appalling.
Oh my God.
But you do it quite often and I think it's eloquent. And do you enjoy, you must enjoy it. And do you get good feedback from people?
I get a mix. I get everything from right on, brother, to if I see you in the street, I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah, great.
You know,
that's from Trump.
I don't do the political stuff to annoy.
No, it feels real.
I do it actually to inform people who might not be informed, and to encourage people who of like minds to do. You know, when you have to vote, vote. When you have to put your money behind your mouth, do it. So
no, it's really enjoyable. It's not pleading. It's
I try not to be rude, and I try, you know, all things
must be
being
tempting.
Equal, he is the president of the United States.
The first time you came to Australia, true or false, was that for Jeffrey Edelson's wedding?
I think that was the second
was
time.
Was that the second time?
I think it was the second time.
That was,
did you actually emcee it?
You emceed it?
I don't think I emceed it. I think I had to get up and give a toast to two people I had never met and could care less
about. But why
about.
Not? But, why yeah. the hell not?
In a casino?
Yeah. No, it was it in a casino?
It?
No,
it was in a ballroom, I think, at Crown.
I think it was a huge ballroom.
The casino sort of down below.
Yes.
But
it was an... I can't believe those kids didn't make it. They were so...
That was so well suited, weren't they?
It was such a fairy tale romance.
Oh, yeah.
You should probably do a charity piece for them right now.
I think so.
Jason Alexander is with us. We've got more with Jason, and we're going to talk about Seinfeld as
It's time.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Who are you, George Costanza?
I'm the opposite of every guy you've ever met.
It's not you, it's me.
You're giving me the it's not you, it's me routine? I invented it's not you, it's me. Nobody tells me it's them, not me. If it's anybody, it's me.
All right. George, it's you.
You're damn right it's me.
Look, I was just trying to, you know...
I know what you were trying to do. Nobody does it better than me.
You're telling me that wine is better than Pepsi?
No way wine is better than Pepsi. I mean, would it kill you not to be so funny all the time? That's all I'm asking. This woman thinks I'm very funny, and now you're going to be funny, so what am I going to be?
I'm going to be a short, bald guy with glasses who suddenly doesn't seem so funny.
Elaine, bald men with no jobs and no money who live with their parents don't approach strange women.
She's in love with him.
Amazing. I drive them to lesbianism, he brings them back. Every time we go out to eat, the minute we're done eating, she's running for the bathroom.
So you're concerned?
Elaine, of course I'm concerned. I'm paying for those meals.
You're not gonna do it? What do you mean you're not gonna do it?
I can't. I'm not an orgy guy.
Are you crazy? This is like discovering plutonium by accident.
I was in there for 2 minutes. He didn't do anything. Touch this, feel that, $75.
Well, it's a first visit.
I'm only paying half.
You can't do that.
Why not?
He's a doctor. You got to pay what he says.
Oh, no. I pay what I say.
Let's get into the big one and Seinfeld, and it's the basis of your tour.
Well, apparently it's been 30 years. I was not aware of that.
And not a day goes by when it's not available on some platform anywhere in this country or the world. Can I ask you a couple of questions? Firstly, about the audition process, because I'd love to know how that went for you and how you left feeling.
Absolutely.
After the...
Realize, by the way, you're doing half my show right now, but that's fine. That's fine. No, people have bought their tickets, so screw them. So the audition was a little strange in that I lived in New York when they were casting, and all the auditions happened in Los Angeles, but they were having trouble finding George in particular. So they called a New York casting director and said, here's 4 pages from our pilot script. Just put some actors on tape that are kind of funny character guys. Yes. And I got called, and I knew nothing about the show. I had seen Jerry Seinfeld perform stand-up, but other than that, I knew nothing about it. I looked at the 4 pages. I said, it kind of feels like a Woody Allen script to me. So I did a blatant Woody Allen, blatant imitation. That's where the glasses came from. That's where the very thick New York accent came from.
Yes.
I went in, I did the audition on tape, and I thought, well, that's it. I'm never going to see that again. Yeah. They're not going to hire me from that. I got a call a week later saying they'd love to fly you out to meet with Jerry and screen test with Jerry.
Wow.
I went, oh, well, all right.
Interesting.
And I flew out, had a lovely day with him and Larry David. Larry met me, and he said, we love everything you're doing. Back off the Woody Allen thing a little bit. Yeah, you know, New York is great, but not quite so Woody. Did the audition with Jerry in front of the brass at NBC.
Yes.
Literally 30 minutes later, went to the airport, got on an airplane. When I landed back in New York, there was a message saying, you got the job.
Fantastic. Oh, wow. And did you realize at the time you were doing Larry David?
Or no.
You were playing some... So did you then study Larry David?
Yes.
Once you, got the job, which is fascinating.
If you look at the first, 10-ish episodes, Woody Allen is still my role model for the first 10 episodes. And I wish I could remember, I got to go back and figure out what episode this was. But somewhere around episode 10, a script came to the table and we read it for everybody. And it just seemed preposterous to me. Yeah. The situation just seemed... crazy. Yeah. So I went to Larry and I said, Larry, please help me with this because this would never happen to anybody. But if it did, nobody would react like this. And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. This happened to me and this is exactly what I did. And so, and that's when I realized that George was sort of an alter ego avatar for Larry. And then I started really kind of studying Larry.
You said you saw him do something when he gets angry, you know?
Oh, it's not just angry, yeah. It's a tic that he has. If you watch Curb, you'll see it all the time. So it's whenever he perceives that somebody has insulted him or is undercutting him. And he does a thing, he'll be fabulous on radio because it's all physical.
Yeah.
He puts the tip of his tongue at the bottom of his bottom teeth, and he does this face with these eyebrow things, and he goes, yes. You know, and it's just like he's weighing it. He's weighing, do I attack? Do I retreat? What do I do? And it was a real clue to me about this is a character. George is a character who constantly perceives the world trying to crap on him. And he just has to figure out how much of a response, because he knows he deserves it, but he also doesn't like it.
I think the respect that both Jerry and Larry have for you as an actor. I one of my favourite scenes, of course, is that you're a marine biologist and the amazing soliloquy that you say in the diner.
Yeah.
The sea was, they was angry.
They wrote it the night of. We did, I can't remember if we did a performance of the original ending in front of the audience.
Yeah.
Or if we did it at dress rehearsal. But up until the day of, there was a different ending, and it wasn't that. And we did the scene as written, and then they had a little powwow, and Larry came over to me and said, how quickly can you learn a monologue? I said, how long a monologue? He said, I don't know, about a page. I went, 3 minutes, 4 minutes. Wow. And he wrote this thing, and it was brilliant. And
that's you didn't rehearse it? You just banged?
We never rehearsed
it
because the audience was already there.
Right. Oh.
So we ran it once for the cameras, but the audience couldn't see it. And then they pulled the curtain away, and we did it one time for the audience, and that's the take that's in the show.
Incredible. Speaking of brilliant writing, your answering machine message.
Oh.
Was there any other options ever put on the table?
I have no idea.
Lucky you can sing.
Let me tell you, singing
badly
that
is hard.
Badly without it being completely ridiculous was really, really hard.
Here's a sample of your work.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep. I must be out or I'd pick up the phone. Where could I be?
Oh, it doesn't rhyme either. It really annoys me.
No, it doesn't. It ends with a thud.
There's a lot of problems with it. Answering machine message.
All right, Jason Alexander is with us, and your chance to bid on a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity with Jason. So you go lunchwithjason.faevent.bid. More with him right after this on Kennedy Malloy.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Our very special guest in studio is the great Jason Alexander.
Every time I hear any women, or men for that matter, saying what their favourite baby name is,
good Lord.
I say, don't say it. Do not tell anyone. And the only reason why I say that is because of George Costanza's favourite baby name. Let's have a listen.
Seven.
Seven Costanza. You're serious?
Yeah. It's a beautiful name for a boy or a girl, especially a girl or a boy.
I don't think so.
Well, you don't like the name?
It's not a name. It's a number.
I know. It's Mickey Mantle's number. So not only is it an all-around beautiful name, it is also a living tribute.
It's awful. I hate it.
Well, that's the name.
Oh, no, it is not. No child of mine is ever going to be named Seven.
All right, let's just stay calm here. Don't get all crazy on me.
Seven? Yeah, I guess I could see it. Seven. Seven periods of school, seven beatings a day. Roughly seven stitches a beating, and eventually 7 years to life. Yeah, you're doing that child quite a service.
Yes, I am. I defy you to come up with a better name than Seven.
All right, let's see. How about Mug? Mug Costanza. That's original. Or Ketchup. Pretty name for a girl.
All right, you having a good time now?
I got 50 right here in the cupboard. How about Bisquick? Pimento? Gherkin, sauce, Maxwell House.
This is a very key issue with me, Jerry. I've had this name for a long time.
Well, I don't know how original it's going to be anymore.
Why not?
Well, I was telling Carrie about our argument, and when I told them the name, they just loved it.
So what are you saying?
They're going to name their baby Seven.
What? They're stealing the name? That's my name. I made it up.
I can't believe that they're using it.
Well, now it's not going to be original. It's going to lose all its cachet.
I don't know how much cachet it had to begin with.
Oh, it's got cachet, baby. It's got cachet up the yin-yang.
Any chance ever, and this is for the boffins who are huddled around the radios out there, could you ever perceive a reunion or a live show or something down that track?
Oh, no one's ever asked about the live show. A lot of people have asked, would we follow suit for some of the classic sitcoms that are rebooting?
Rebooting and going on.
And I have not spoken to Larry or Jerry about it, but my guess is, as a betting man, I would bet against it because... Yes. They tend to like to set a trend, not follow
not
a trend.
Follow it, yeah.
So I think they would feel it's been done. I think they would both agree that we sort of did our reunion on the curb episodes. But a live show, that's interesting. I don't know if they would. I don't know if they would look for some other alternative.
I remember Monty Python getting out there and doing those live shows, and people got a buzz. People got a buzz of just seeing you. All of you are so well loved to see you back on stage. People would just get a thrill.
Let me proffer this to you, though. We were in our 30s and very early 40s when we were doing the show, and we were marginally acceptable at that point. I don't know how cute we'd be in our 60s. Being the same schmoes that we were 30 years ago. I'm not sure.
Oh, I think you'd be fine.
And I think it's way below Julia's dignity.
Oh, never.
She's won 37 Oscars and Emmys. So, you know.
And also, it annoys me because, well, for all of you, she should win an Oscar for her performance. You know, her acting is so brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I get really annoyed when I see the Academy Awards and awards show that not enough people who do comedy are...
Why isn't there a category for comedians?
Yeah.
Comedy. Because, you know, comedy is so pedestrian, Mick. No, everybody assumes
because it's really hard to do. And it's, you know, a no-brainer when you can scream.
I mean, you know, it is relatively easy to tell a good story as a dramatic actor.
Yes.
It's very hard to get laughs, and it's even harder to get laughs with material that isn't that funny.
And so you have,
you know,
it drives me
when you see
batty.
People that accomplish that, you are a magician.
On award shows, what's your feeling of award shows? Have you hosted them before yourself?
I have. I hosted the Emmys one year. Yeah. I hosted a couple of things.
Turned up to the Oscars in an ordinary outfit, which there's been doing the rounds.
Right.
Was it jeans and a bum bag?
Something like that, yeah. Listen, if somebody throws an award at you, you go, oh, well, I'm all that. Yeah. Most of the time, I don't understand, I don't know what the criteria is to compare one role and an actor's performance in that role. Mm. Yes. It'd be one thing if you said, we had 10 actors do the same film, and you were the best one. It's another thing to go, you did that role, you did that role, and I liked your role more. I always think the award should be, and the Oscar for best role of the year goes to, you know, it's really
that. Makes sense. Yeah. That makes
indeed.
Sense.
Indeed. I'm glad you consented to do this interview. I love it, because I know you don't do them all. The Actors Studio is an interview that you famously would
and
never
why is that,
ever
Jason?
Do.
Why wouldn't you do that? Well,
all the best actors in the world.
It feels pretty pretentious.
That was the thing. I loved watching it, and I just thought, if James Lipton... Now, you have to have a certain kind of career to sit across from James Lipton. But if James Lipton turned to me at the Actors Studio and said, tell me about your preparation for Dunstan Checks In, the movie with the orangutan... How did you make the choice? You know, I mean,
how did you prepare?
For God's sake, I'm in a monkey movie.
What about film? You've been a bit stingy with your film roles.
Been.
I don't feel
it's
like,
not me.
Well,
don't blame me.
Hey, you light up the screen.
I've seen you recently in Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I thought that was
a great role that
you did there. Yep. But are you happy to chill, or would you like? Because
so I have for the last 15 years, I've been actively moving my career to the directing side. And I won't name them for you because they're not up and running yet. Mm-hmm. But I am directing 3 upcoming Broadway pieces.
Oh, fair. Wow. Well, that is so, your. I mean,
that's my
that's
love.
Your juice.
That's my
and I
love.
Saw something with your son as well, which is really he's a really
Did you
good
see
looking.
Dinner with Dad?
Oh yeah, I love that concept. This is where, Jason, you play a heightened Jason Alexander with his son, who's a really good-looking hot guy, just quietly.
Yeah.
And it's you catch up once a week, is it, at a diner?
Well, we did.
We
actually filmed about 10 of those, and they all aired, and we haven't done them for a while.
They're really
but
well
yeah,
done.
It was a premise about my actual son and I meeting at a diner once a week for dinner and talking about something that had to do with the business, but also about our generational divide. And that was really fun. Really
well done.
We wrote them together.
Yeah.
And we,
good on
and did you do
so
a big season in Vegas? I think you did. Did you want to do one of those protracted runs in
Vegas? I did. My friend Peter Tilden, who's out there in your green room, he and I wrote a show years ago that was really fun called The Donnie Clay Experience, which was a comedy show that we did in Vegas. But I never appeared as me. I appeared as Donnie Clay, America's fourth leading motivational
excellent
guru. And the whole evening was like a motivational seminar, but it was just stupid and
fantastic.
Funny and we did a residency in LA
because you don't mind a game of cards too. Are you still playing a bit of poker?
You may find me in the room before
but be careful because your background's in magic, so just be careful if you play cards with this man.
Well, it was not card magic.
That might explain a little bit. thank you for coming on the show.
My pleasure, my friend.
We could talk to you for 2 hours, you realise.
We could. We've left alone the Seinfeld, because I know that's the base of a lot of the questions. We could sit here and ask you questions till the cows come home.
And I would know the answers to
most. And you would know the answers to most of them. But if you wanted to fire some questions at this bloke, he will answer them all.
Well, there's not many tickets left, so good luck.
You get involved. And don't forget, once-in-a-lifetime experience, an intimate lunch with Jason Alexander at ARIA. To raise money for Kangaroo Island, good on you, mate, for doing that.
Yeah,
this country's been tipped upside down in recent terms, so that will go a long way to helping out those people. Only 9 places will be about. We should bid on that.
You know what? No, we should be the waiter and waitress there.
Also, you know, when they say an intimate lunch, that implies nudity of some kind.
Intimate is. Lunchtime and intimate? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Yeah.
Well, you could come out like you did on Seinfeld with no top on, leaving the
bathroom. Absolutely, yeah. That's a good appetizer right there.
9 places available for a lunch with a great man. I would prefer the late dinners after a show, which were always the highlights of my day. Indeed. And then a couple of drinks afterwards. Good on you, mate. Enjoy your time
Thank
you for swinging by.
My pleasure. Good to see you all.
Lovely to see you.
To bid on a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity with Jason Alexander, go to lunchwithjason.faevent.biz.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Thanks to Makita.com.au, their cordless garden tools for the cordless power garden range.
Believe it or not, I'm walking on.
But
I sing while I'm with the Makita.
It is hard to sing not right when you can sing, because Jason Alexander is a Broadway star. So he can sing.
He can indeed.
He could make up a song about Makita.
Oh, we should have got him to do the Makita.
Believe it or not, Makita's walking on air.
I love Makita so much, so much. You know that. I mean, now I think of getting a Makita tattoo.
Really?
Would you have a hedge trimmer, a turbo blower, a brush cutter, a lawnmower, or the wheelbarrow and bucket?
I'd have a giant turbo blower on my chest.
On your chest?
Sort of pointing south.
Yeah.
Do you know what? A bit like all the people on Married at First Sight.
Are they
tattered up.
And on the back, on my back, like, instead of the scales of justice.
Yeah, what would you have?
I would get a hedge.
A hedge trimmer?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Nice, so I thought you'd be more the cordless lawnmower.
No, it's a tramp stamp. I'll get a tramp stamp. A Makita tramp stamp.
But what?
Give me my Makita back.
I will approve of that only because it's Makita.
Have we got a Makita song?
Here it is.
Makita! Makita! Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Well done, Makita.
You're bucking around down the heavy end of the pool.
Stick around. The Song Whisperer's next.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Jay, the Song Whisperer.
It's been a while. We've been distracted by the great Jason Alexander. By the way, if you want to hear it, in that bit there, we were doing, he did a bit of acting for us. Yes. Larry David when he's angry, and he performed it. We've actually got that. We filmed that live in the studio. If you'd like to see it, go to our Instagram.
That's it, Kennedy Malloy.
Kennedy Malloy, and we'll have that live. It's worth seeing him doing his Larry David impression when Larry's not that happy. Okay, now, Song Whisperer, here's the synopsis.
A man wrestles with his future by looking back at his past through rose-colored glasses. His memories are enhanced by copious amounts of alcohol. He laments his father's fate and wonders what will befall him in his later years. He is aware of his potential to fall prey to the siren song of nostalgia, but it's something he'll deal with another day. Right now, his focus is on his ability to achieve a complete state of intoxication.
Good plan. I like it.
I like
something
it too.
To look forward to.
Okay,
here we go.
Let's go.
What does winner get?
You're going to get tickets to go see Faith No More. They're
I love
playing
those guys.
Headlining
brilliant.
First time in 23 years. Tickets on sale tomorrow at midday.
Special. I'll be queuing up
Me
for
too.
Those. Brett's on the line.
Here we
Brett,
go.
What song do you think it is?
I'm thinking George Thorogood. One bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
Okay, hang on. One scotch,
one beer. Yes, could have been any. I would have put any George Thorogood song up for that one.
They're all about alcohol.
And a complete state of intoxication.
Not George.
Not George.
Sorry, Brett.
Sorry, mate. Paul's on the line. Paul, what's your guess?
Yeah, my guess is the Mentals. The nips are getting bigger.
Ooh.
The nips are getting bigger.
The nips are getting bigger.
Great song.
Yes.
No.
Oh,
sorry, Paul.
I wish that was the answer.
Me too.
Because then we could play the whole song.
Hello, Jordan. Yeah. What do you think it is?
Is it Say It Ain't So by Weezer?
Weezer. We love Weezer here.
Listen to that.
Sounds great.
See, they got a bit of grunt under the bonnet.
Weezer.
Not Weezer.
Not Weezer. No. How dare you? Can you make it Weezer one day, please?
Darren, who do you think it is?
Yes, I'm here.
I think it's Nobody Drinks Alone by Keith Urban.
Okay, this is interesting. Let's listen to it. Nobody drinks alone. Song Whisperer?
Not Keith.
No. Sorry.
And next time we play a Keith Urban song, can it be the one he wrote about his wife?
Oh, yeah. Gemini Man.
Gemini Man, where everyone really thinks she's a fantastic in bed.
Hello, Brett. What do you think it is?
I think it's Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd.
What a great song.
I'm going to back this in.
If you've been intoxicated, you would be comfortably numb.
We'd be comfortably numb.
Comfortably numb. Song Whisperer?
But you would be wrong.
Oh, jeez.
Quick, let's fly
Good
through
guess,
this. Anthony, what do you think it is?
G'day, guys. I think it's Elton John's Rocket Man.
Wrestling Rocket with his future. Man. The future.
It's not Sir Elton.
It's not Sir Elton.
No. This is that's one of the only songs of Elton I like. You know I get into him? I like that song.
Well, I don't believe you. No.
Here we go. Blair.
Hello, Blair. What do you think it is?
Yeah, I reckon it's Bruce Springsteen, Glory Days.
Interesting. State of Intoxication.
Here's a few tropes of Springsteen. Yes. Dad, reflection, mournful, alcohol.
Correct.
Oh, yeah. You got
Bang.
It.
Well,
yeah,
you got it. You got your tickets
Faith
too.
Faith no more, man.
Tickets go on sale tomorrow midday. It's their Commission first headline tour in 23 years. You don't want to miss Faith No More. Coming to Australia for Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Great guest on today, Jason Alexander. Yeah, we spent half an hour chatting to one of the greatest performers, comedic performers this country's ever seen. Go to our Instagram site.
Yes.
And you'll see him acting out Larry David.
So good.
Because when he got the role, he studied Larry David, and you'll see it live. It's great.
If you missed any of it, by the way, the podcast as well, so we're going to have the full interview up there.
He was great company, and it was a thrill.
It was, as a friend of mine, you embarrassed me a bit, you two.
I don't think I did.
We've still got that connection.
Okay.
Hey, tomorrow, right. Tom Ballard is going to be with us.
Excellent. Why don't you like Bruce Springsteen? You
can't Stop it.
Just drop as that
if.
Before the show.
As if I don't like the boss who doesn't love Springsteen.
See you for Wednesday, Kennedy Malloy.
Another Kennedy Malloy catch-up, powered by Makita's cordless power garden range. More power and less noise with one battery across Makita's range of over 200 tools.